Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Laura.
And welcome.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. I'm touching knobs. I got knobs all over my fingers.
You are a knob.
I'm a pretty big knob, if you think about
like
it.
Like a British person.
I'm a hobnobber? Is that something
Hobnoblin?
That people, yeah, I'm the Hobnoblin. That's my wrestling name. I would be the Hobnoblin.
I think yours would be the Cock Goblin.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like it. You got me. This is the Horrible Podcast, guys, where we talk about everything but horror movies every week.
We start off with a horror movie.
We name a horror movie. It's like, yeah, we say we're going to talk about a horror movie, and then we just troll you for an hour and then talk about everything that's not that horror movie.
You'll learn about our lives.
Yeah.
Our losses.
What we did. All of our histories and past and all the things we probably shouldn't be saying on something that's ostensibly public.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. You think?
You ain't paying for it. Don't complain.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean.
No, I don't.
They're paying with time.
Yeah. Like, their ears are they're, you know, it's like the gas meter or whatever. Like, there's a thing going around the gas meter and is slowly charging their ears.
We're all going around the gas meter, bro.
Yeah. Well, I'm having pizza tonight, so probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made the mistake, of course, of eating jalapenos a couple nights ago, and on the way home from work last night, I thought I was going to shit my pants.
What? Like, just jalapenos? Like, no, like not jalapeno poppers or something? It was just...
He will goof my stomach up like nobody's business.
What were these things? What were you eating?
Jalapenos? Well, they're these peppers.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
No, it was I want to blame it on the jalapenos, but it was probably a mix of the jalapenos on top of Barbaritos.
Let's start with the beans and cheese and meat.
Steak.
Just Barbaritos in general.
Yeah.
Blame the jalapenos.
But it was weird. It waited a long time to get me. It waited until I was on my way home and
as the most opportune time. Yeah.
It's like, hey, are you trapped somewhere where you can't get to the bathroom easily? Let's have a stomach ache.
It's like the George Carlin bit where he talks about the traffic jams wait until you've had a bran muffin for breakfast.
We called it anal anticipation. You're getting close to home and your butt's like, let's do this now.
Anal anticipation was my favorite 80s porn parody of a game show from the 80s.
It could be taken a couple of ways.
Yeah. Do you guys remember that?
One way.
Yeah, hopefully there aren't multiple ways to take this. It's just
the back
one.
Hatch. Hey, guys, you know what movie we're talking about tonight?
Which song reference should we go with on this?
Probably this one.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that.
You got one teed up too?
No, I didn't. I figured you would have them both. The two that immediately jumped to mind.
Like this one.
Yeah. No, that's
thinking about Mrs. Me and Mrs. Jones. That one.
No. What?
What's the other Mr. Jones song that's obvious?
There's a Talking Heads song.
Oh, right. And there was a Bob Dylan song as well, but I wouldn't consider those obvious to most people under 35.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Talking Heads, everybody listens to the Talking Heads, right?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so. Well, if you've listened to classic rock in the last week, you've heard Talking Heads.
Yeah, but only Burning Down the House. Like, that's weird that that's the only canonical song
maybe
of theirs.
Maybe Psycho Killer. Maybe.
If you're driving late at night, yes. but only, it's weird because only at this point, I don't remember Psycho Killer growing up. I only remember Road to Nowhere because it was in the movie Monster in My Closet, the Fred Savage movie, or Little Monsters. Which one was that?
Little Monsters.
Monsters in My Closet, was that a cartoon or a TV show? Monsters in My Pocket, that's right.
Isn't that what Pokemon came from? Pocket Monsters? Monsters in My Pocket? Pokemon?
No.
I think it is. I'm not going to do any research on it, but I'm pretty sure that...
Okay.
Okay, so in case you haven't gathered it, guys, the movie this week is Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
I was surprised you guys went to watch this Richard Gere joint that Mike Figgis directed. Really odd choice. Really odd choice.
Yeah. I called this Mr. Jones the millennial version of Antichrist, sans kid.
Yeah, okay. I'm with that.
And
like,
not as much deep dicking.
Someone had just seen The Nightmare and said, hey, I should make a movie just like that.
I had a lot, like, I kind of think it reminded me of the Resolution. It reminded me a little bit of Resolution. It reminded me of kind of a mixture of Resolution and Barbarian Sound Studio. Is that right? Is it Barbarian? Because I keep thinking of Burberry.
Yeah, it's Barbarian.
Okay. It's a stylish clothing line that also runs a sound studio. There was a 10-minute stretch in this movie towards the end where I think he ran through all his directorial influences. In 10 minutes, I got Sam Raimi, David Lynch, the Resolution guys. It was like right after one after another, I was like, oh, that's this. Oh, that's this.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
I enjoyed the movie, though.
Yeah.
I did not. It was the most boring thing
yes,
I think I've watched
thank
in some
you.
Time.
Yeah.
I didn't stand it.
I felt like it was two movies that accidentally got spliced together.
Yeah.
I just wasn't ever interested.
I think it was boring after it tried to be, like, at the end when it tried to go, like, weird, when it tried to go, like, Blue Harvest. What's the movie's name? Blue Velvet?
Blue Velvet, yeah.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I like the first half a lot, though. Like, I guess it's boring, but I like the first half. I like when they set it up. I like the VO over the front of it. It kind of reminded me of Adaptation.
I think the very first line spoken is, well, the phones aren't working out here.
Yeah.
Okay, we've gone ahead and solved that. We've got that one under control. You're right. There was a weird, when you say the two movies spliced together, because in the middle, someone goes on a business trip.
Yeah.
The making dude goes on a business trip right in the middle. I'm like, oh, I guess everything's fine.
There's some weird shit. I'm going to go to New York. I'll leave you here. It will be fine.
It's what's weird about it is, like, it reminds me of the movie that, the one that had James Vanderbeek in it that's based on the
Rules of Attraction.
Rules of Attraction. God, I can't remember anything tonight.
Oh, and they do that really quick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite part of that movie, though.
Yeah. I think it was the most stylish.
Like,
this had that. And the weird thing about this movie is that it definitely has some style. It just didn't have enough substance to cover it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of like the idea of this hoarder artist. Like, they called it like Banksy in the Woods. I kind of like that idea. But, I mean, the first half works, but the second half is just like way too boring. Like, it's
and
not scary.
I wonder, too, if it was, I mean, the creature is a little bit of a, I mean, it's got a Blair Witch kind of feel to it. The art and the creature did to me.
You made me think more Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, Jeepers Creepers as well.
That's not a good thing.
No,
you didn't like Jeepers Creepers? The original?
Not particularly.
I didn't either.
What was the other one?
The second one?
Sequel.
Oh, I was like, the second one?
Yeah.
Are you saying the other?
No, it's Victor Salva. I always have weird feelings about his. I can't figure out how to feel about him.
Well, I think you can feel pretty terribly about that guy.
Is he the one that molested
you? That's usually
the
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the powder.
Oh, director. Okay.
I didn't like Jeepers Creepers when it came out. I was like, man, this is so dumb and derivative.
What's horrible about that is that, you know, you direct some great movies, and then you molest a child, and then nobody remembers the movies you make.
What was the great movies?
Powder.
Powder, yeah.
Didn't you cry at Powder?
With laughter at times.
Robot.
Okay, so it's all coming out now.
Hey, we're boring, Lona. Watch out.
You're fine.
Here's my
announcement. Geometry Wars.
Is Geometry Wars on the phone now?
No, it's on I have a Vita that I'm playing it on.
I've never seen Powder.
You're okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, man.
People loved it, but people loved it when I was
part of the high school experience was watching Powder.
I wasn't in high school when I saw
it's an important part of Brian's mid-20s experience was watching Powder.
Well, I mean, it perfectly encapsulated Victor Salva's obsession with teenage boys, though, because I mean, that's what, I mean, even just like, so these guys who hate Powder and don't, you know, they hate him and don't want to be him. And then he wants to be like a normal guy. So how do we shoot the shot of him looking longingly at a regular teenage boy and wanting to be like him? We shoot it like a Diet Coke commercial where the, you know, with the, yeah, the hunky teenager is squeezing his wet shirt off over his head, to, you know, and it's dripping down. It's like, Powder, is Powder in love with him? I mean, it was really weird, and that was Victor Salva.
I'm kind of glad I never saw that.
Yeah, going weird.
He just wants some pigment. That's all he wants.
Powder was what I hoped Phenomenon would have been.
I knew you were going there.
Yeah. I never saw...
Having a conversation, I worked at a vet clinic during this time, and like having a conversation with one of the doctors, like he's like, man, Phenomenon is going to be, you know, he's like, Phenomenon, pardon the pun, it's going to be phenomenal. I was like, I don't know. And he's like, no, this is going to be the greatest movie of all time.
That and Michael. Like,
I was going to say, yeah.
All of
like
them,
a Powder sandwich. I want to watch Phenomenon, then Powder, then Michael.
Is John, here's what I wonder.
He's in all of the movies.
But is
it's Spirit and Powder?
Did Pulp Fiction did Pulp Fiction overinflate his worth a lot?
Oh, no, totally. It's just I mean, it did not. It just people ate it. His worth was perfectly fine. After that, people looked at it though, and then go and cast him in the weirdest shit.
Yeah,
it's
like,
yeah. I mean, I don't ever remember hating John Travolta. I mean,
I just got to a point where I didn't want to watch his movies. I was like, what is this? He's an angel?
He got uncomfortable to watch. Just,
yeah.
Even if you watch him like in interviews, I feel uneasy. I don't like to make eye contact with the screen because something about him reminds me of someone who would be knocking on my door giving me religious pamphlets.
Yeah.
And it just creeps me out.
Well, he's never struck to...
Look, he proved to be a bad selector of you know, of properties and work, because that's what killed his career the first time. He chose to be in shitty things, and so his career died, and he did it again.
Selector of properties is precisely how L. Ron Hubbard would say something like that. John Travolta is a selector of properties. It is his properties that will select him.
So he's a bronze level selector. Yeah, of properties.
I am Thetan.
Oh,
level
he's a
eight
shit
selector.
Level yeah. selector. Property.
He's definitely level one. He's got a lot of Thetans in his career.
When Tyler mentioned Mr. Jones, I of course immediately thought it was the Adam Derwitz story, the biopic,
which I would love to see because it would include scenes of him sleeping with all the friends and then having fake dreads and then deciding to be a pop star.
No, his dreads are real. He still has them.
His dreads are not real.
They're on his head still.
That doesn't make them real. I'm not saying like they're like CGI. I'm saying that he had them like grafted.
No picture or public performance of Adam Derwitz can go out.
They're actually all attached to the hat he wears.
I think so.
He takes them off and he's just.
I mean, Counting Crows and Hootie the Blowfish had a meteoric rise. Mm-hmm. To, you know, stardom in the 90s. I mean, that was they were all over. Hey, are we going back? Let's go back to the 90s.
Why did you automatically lump Hootie and the Blowfish with Counting
I don't
Crows?
Know. I always put those two together.
Why? They're so different.
Because they just felt like they came around at the same time. I'm like,
yeah.
It's because they both had some ethnicity to them, right?
Yeah,
Brian. Be honest. Be honest.
Soul.
yeah, see, he says.
Yes, they both have black lead singers. Yes.
Adam Derwitz isn't black. Is he? What is he?
He's black enough for Brian to think he is.
Yeah.
I always thought he was mixed race.
Brian looks so uncomfortable right now. Your face looks so uncomfortable right now. Brian thinks he's only 3/5 of a lead singer.
Hey, so can we get back to the movie about the relationship between a manic depressive man and the female doctor who takes more than a professional interest in his treatment? Because I didn't watch that Mr. Jones for no reason.
The longest I was as confused as you, Drew, when we started talking about it, because I too thought it was the Dane Cook, Kevin Costner movie.
I thought
you were just making a joke about the lead guy, and I was like, I don't think he looks that much like Dane Cook.
Yeah, I don't know why I got Mr. Brooks in my head. That's all I thought of.
For half the movie, I was like, what? He's been in another movie we've covered, and I kept thinking about it, and I was like, I know he looks like somebody. Come to find out, he looks like Little Dicky, the white Jewish rapper.
How did I? That's what was it called? The the effect when you've never heard of something, then all of a sudden you've seen it, and now it's been mentioned at least three times in your life.
I don't that
Bader-Meinhof. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I didn't know who that was until today, and now you've mentioned him.
So. Really? How did you find out about who Little Dicky
Reddit.
Is? Yeah,
AMA on Reddit.
I was in Los Angeles and found out about him, so I guess it just has gravitated to this coast.
I thought he was actually the character from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Little Kevin, that they all thought was retarded.
Oh, yeah.
The rapper. I was like, oh, is he really a rapper? And then I was like, no, that's not him. Little Kev.
Speaking of the R word, I started watching. This is way off topic.
We warned people going in that we were barely going to talk about the movie.
Well,
it's like we're
splicing
two podcasts together, much like.
Yeah. Hey, also, I didn't realize until reading a synopsis that this couple was in trouble and trying to patch up a shaky marriage with the best option, which is to strand yourself in a house for a year with the other person.
As if that's going to work.
I don't like you, so I'd like you to be the only person I could possibly be around
full
time
for
a year.
This love. Force it.
I saw pretty early on that
he says something, doesn't he?
Maybe yeah. That's like, what it was. Maybe that
he's like, what do you do when your marriage is falling apart? You make the greatest movie ever.
Okay, so Kate's not going to like this, but
the greatest movie ever about a marriage falling apart is Kramer versus Kramer, or Irreconcilable Differences.
Mm.
Or The Story of Us. I really like that one, too.
Or War of the Roses.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or Death Becomes Her.
I was joking about The Story of Us.
Fatal Attraction.
With Bruce Willis?
Yeah. And Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay. Yeah. And then her like son gets abducted and
No, that's a different one.
Oh.
Geely.
Man, we were all over the place.
Yeah. Kate's only comment on this movie is, man, that girl has big boobs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. On here, when she was like, we're going to start a nudist colony, I was like, I hope you start it on your own now. And then I saw it was PG-13. I was like, fuck.
Don't keep bringing that up. Don't keep teasing it and then not do it. That's in the movie, did that a couple times.
When we had her Harley Quinn moment when she's all made up, I was like, oh, we're going to get it. We're going to get it.
I don't think this movie is as bad as you guys do. I like the first half. Like, I kind of like the stylistic choices in the first part. I actually did like the documentary stuff that was included. I kind of wish there was more of that. I didn't like at the end that it just lingered on them hiding in the house. I did like that construct. I just didn't like that they just completely used it and then went into the fourth level of hell I can't speak to the last third of the movie because I have no idea what happens.
You could just watch As Above, So Below. It was just that. I mean, that's what I thought of.
Mr. Jones was one of those monk creatures from As Above and So Below.
I still haven't seen that movie. Did we do that movie in the podcast? I don't think
we did.
We did
2 weeks ago.
No, we didn't. I don't remember. Did we do that for the podcast or no?
Yes.
No, we didn't.
2 weeks ago.
Sometimes I don't know.
Trying to make him feel like the whole...
Sometimes it's like your dream world and reality are just becoming one big thing.
See,
trying to make Tyler think he's in the Berenstain Bear world.
Like, so freaky.
We've crossed over the other level.
I mean, the thing that I can say positively is that it attempts to do something very similar to what... Barbarian Sound Studio does, and I think Barbarian Sound Studio does it really well, and this movie doesn't as well, because that movie slowly lets you descend into this world where film and life kind of coexist, and like Mr. Jones doesn't have that because it just kind of suddenly happens. It doesn't slowly happen. And what's weird is that this movie is ostensibly about art and modern art. And what the movie doesn't do is provide the audience with some semblance of like what Mr. Jones's sense of art is. It's just, he's just a boogeyman, and it's not presented as though like this is how art and life interact and one imitates the other. And I think that the movie would better be serviced by doing that.
What he was saying was he wants to look at the television and see me staring right back at me, is what he was basically saying.
His favorite gray is his favorite color. God, if I were making this movie, I would have snuck as many Counting Crows references into it. Like our marriage.
Day 66. It's been a long December.
I would say like, yes, our marriage started to fall apart with August and everything after.
Although that
we've spent the last 6 months trying to We've been recovering the satellites, so to speak.
Long December is...
Want some hard candy?
Long December definitely is a one of the most depressing songs I can think of.
Oh my God, that's in like everybody's that line that you soundtrack.
Smell of hospitals and winter. It's all a lot of oysters with no pearls.
Yeah. Man, hey, I mean, you could say any of their lyrics on that sort of like... I mean, any of their songs like... We paved paradise.
That's not their song. Park.
No, I know it's Joni Mitchell, but still they sang it
all,
like, terribly.
Their whole catalog, that's what you pull.
Their whole catalog? What, Mr. Jo- Round
Angels
Here.
Angels of the Silence?
Mm-mm. I don't even know that one.
That's Omaha, stuck somewhere in middle America.
Yeah. I like to think of that, like what you just said about you take any of their lyrics and separate them, you could probably have a deep kind of meaning, and I just think...
Pretend meaning... Funny thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I totally stepped all over you.
No, that was it. I was just gonna say, just start posting just two sentence lyrics on Facebook as the
have people Google them. Oh, right. So we'd go back to 2006 Facebook. Like that was all my Twitter was the first month was me listening to songs and posting lyrics I liked.
My mom liking it and then making some comment. I remember one time posting the Ryan Adams lyric. That I know it's not a game, but mm-hmm. but it feels like what's I know it's.
But sometimes not, it feels like
not a game.
God damn it! Anyways,
that
lyric
throws you away, right? And I posted that, and I got private messages asking me what was wrong. Like, oh, it's a Ryan Adams song. I just thought it was a great line, and I was just posting it.
So here's the thing: whenever you post a lyric that you want people to really feel because you are actually depressed. And then your mom likes it. It actually makes everything that much worse.
Yes.
It's like a Mobius strip of depression.
Yes, I agree. I have blocked my mom. Not blocked her, but I don't follow her anymore, so I don't have to see her updates and bullshit. So I'm just like, I don't like to read.
What is it? What are her updates mostly?
Mainly, at Starbucks with my favorite grandkid, not yeah. Jackson.
Oh, so it's jealousy that's driving
yes,
this.
Basically.
That's fine.
And
she posted a cute picture of old ladies this morning.
And case in point, that every time she meets someone, she has to friend them immediately.
I was like, better clean up my language now. Brian's mom's here.
Are you friends with her?
No. But I definitely see the second season.
So.
I'm not. But I can definitely see the second season of Bloodline going in this direction. The center family.
Oh my God.
Over the grandchildren.
And my dad posts stuff, and he's like, he'll say, he'll post a song. What's the stop, baby? What's that sound? Everybody looks
like
he'll
the lyrics.
Post that and be like, you guys just discuss this. Trying to start a conversation on Facebook. I'm like, God damn it.
Tell me what you're thinking. Y-E-R.
My mom just takes quizzes, so that's fun. I know her secret ally on Facebook is, and who she's, who will bail her out of jail, and what her best traits are. And she just posts them. But she posts she posts it, and then she will seriously discuss whether or not the results are correct. Like, the name Cynthia, it means fortuitous and blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't really know because back in 1988, I had an experience that was very different. And I don't believe that this really works for me. And all her friends like it because they're also in their 60s. And then she says things to me like, you never like anything on my Facebook. And I'm like, because I don't.
Hey, let's keep the grown-ups on Facebook podcast going by saying, have you guys ever had the wonderful experience of sitting around your parents and watching them go through Facebook and read you updates?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's, yes. My mom does weird things too. Like my mom takes relishes giving bad news to people. And I don't know if that's just everybody. Like, hey, did you hear that so-and-so's mom has cancer? I'm like, hey, not a Facebook thumbs up. I just don't. I hope I don't get to that point where I have to be it is my job to be the bearer of bad news.
But that's the modern version of grandparents telling you about the obituaries when you go home to visit.
Yeah, do you hear that? No, I don't know who Zelda is.
I don't know who that is, yeah.
Who?
Oh, their grandson. They were so and so. And you're like, no. Well, they died. okay.
You met him one time when you were four.
Yes.
All right, so.
Mr. Jones.
Let's circle back. I mean, the thing is, I unloaded my entire paragraph of like what I think about this movie in its entirety. I mean, I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think like it's an not well carried out film. Like I think they could have done a much better job with carrying it out, but I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just not very interesting.
When they get into the house for the first time, or he goes into the tunnel.
Yeah.
For the very first time. The tunnel. And he stumbles upon the altar. Mm-hmm. All I kept thinking of is, hey, look, it's the Blair Witch Dr. Satan Groot Memorial.
You know what it reminds me of is modern, like, independent horror games. Like, if you...
Family?
Huh?
I said, you said modern. I said family.
Modern family. No, it reminds me of, like, modern horror games, like indie horror games. Because, like, if you buy something on Steam that... It's like they call them walking simulators where you just kind of like walk around and look at spooky things and maybe you pick up some journal entries and like that's the entire game because you don't have the time or the money to build actual mechanics into it. This movie kind of reminds me of that, though it does have like a spark and some flair for like cinematography. It's just the story wasn't interesting and like it does the weird thing that some horror movies do that it doesn't build to a third act. It gets halfway through the second act and is like, all right, we don't have anything else to do, so fuck it. They showed up in the house. Now we're just going to trap them there and do some weird shit for the last 20 minutes. Like, that's kind of what happens. Like, I wanted them to go into the house a couple times and, like, build up the suspense, but they go in once, they kind of back away, and they go a second time to, like, really investigate, and they completely fuck up. And it's not great. Like, that, it's just not interesting because... I mean, we learn who the characters are, but not why they're doing this.
I was doing my impression of the guy's face every like as the camera stayed on him as he'd see stuff. He'd go, "Oh my god, guys, you should totally see what I'm seeing. It is terrifying." The arms dealer from Resident Evil 4 has just walked into this house.
Do you know who he reminded me of?
The arms dealer from Resident Evil 4.
No, because I don't know what that means.
But that's who he was, though.
But yes, but in an alternate universe where you're more into pop culture, like maybe me, did you watch the video with the couple who announced their baby where the guy gets her pee? You know what I'm talking about?
I heard about it, but I didn't
know. Oh my God.
Do you know what I'm talking about? That guy. He looks like that guy.
Her peas.
What?
No, her urine. Not
yeah, yeah. It did sound like he had he got one of one herpes.
It's like a Christian vlogging company, company slash family. But it's they got this video they did recently just went viral because she thought she was pregnant, but she doesn't flush the toilet, so he out of the toilet to test it. And she was pregnant, and it was great, except for 2 days later, she said, oh, no, wait, I had a miscarriage, and they were very sad. You know, there's a lot of debate as to whether any of it was real or not, and, you know.
And it probably wasn't.
But we can all not debate that scooping someone else's pee is gross, but the guy, the guy in the film had that same look as, like, the super Christian vlog guy, and I think I couldn't really get past that. Like, even his movements were so...
Christian? Like, did you just
there
have...
Just,
I think...
Something about his...
Hey, team.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes,
I can hear you.
Sorry, things froze up for a second. And,
You're blanking it now.
Occasionally, it seems that I've stopped hearing Lona occasionally.
Yeah. So we've got a little...
Important to say.
Also a very large...
Person just told a story for...
It's
also a very large...
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I can work that out. But, yeah.
No, you blinked out on some of the urine the explanation.
kind of thankfully. They've just seen Gone Girl entirely too many times.
Oh, man. Now that's a horror movie.
Yeah. Speaking of horror movies, Gone Girl definitely is. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much. Like, I don't know how much else I have to say about this film in particular because it. I mean, it does some things. Like, I do like the introduction of this idea of Mr. Jones, like as this sort of hermited artist who does something really bizarre, which is
tell each other's fairy tales.
So, but the thing I have to ask is that I never quite figured out for myself is that did they actually were they did they actually reveal what he was actually doing? They kind of alluded to it, but did they actually ever actually say like what it was?
Protecting the dream world or whatever, or the real world from the dream world or something.
The dream world.
I wish.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
You know what this movie was missing at the end was? In my dreams, it's still the same.
Where do you get this?
Would have been fine.
What song is that? Yes, it was.
What song is that?
In my dreams.
No, but who is that? Like, I've never.
Dockin.
Rockin' with Dockin.
Rockin' Dockin.
Yeah, I don't understand. And at one point, they pull off his mask at the end. Like, that's something that's bad.
But then, doesn't the husband, he puts on a mask? And
well,
does
he becomes him. He, like, takes the role.
Sorry, say that again. It's really fucking up.
Yeah, I can.
It keeps dropping. Like, when you guys are talking, it just keeps dropping out entirely.
Is it all of us?
Yeah, like, it just goes blank for a second. This is Making Sausage, the podcast.
You know.
It's fine.
We are not a professional.
Speak for yourself.
Second.
So it's him protecting. So he becomes Mr. Jones for a time, right? Like, that's the mask thing.
I think he's the new Mr. Jones.
He's
at
the new
point.
One.
Yeah.
Like, he is.
Because
he fucked up and hurt.
Yeah, he
destroyed,
accidentally
ran
killed
off the
Mr.
other
Jones.
One or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Maelstrom.
And he stole the thing from the house.
Yeah. The baby. Meat baby.
But what?
Stole the Picasso.
Do we find out why he's sending those things, though? And what the significance of those people are? Or are they just...
Them to come be the new Mr. Jones.
Maybe? Like, what... Yeah, I don't think the movie explains any of that very well. I think
anything, really.
Yeah. Like, that's the part where I agree with you, is where I'm like, all right, I get it. They go and do these sort of, like, set up interviews. But then, nothing comes of it. Like, it's like they just set it up so that we'll have someone to talk to and like, oh, this guy receives something, he does the interview, and then that's all we get out of this guy. Like,
that's where it really felt like the nightmare to me, because that one guy they talked to who was so adamant about how bad it was or whatever felt like one of those guys in the nightmares were, as if this was fake.
And yeah. Movie is only 83 minutes, and there were 5 minutes left when the credits started. So they could have put in a little more of the mythos to do a better job explaining.
I don't think they had any. I think that's the thing where we always sit there and say they could have done this, they could have done that. Yeah, they could have. I don't think they have any better. I mean, that's the thing. If they had it, then do it. There was nothing to stop them.
Yeah,
and it's an independent film that they're making and producing at that point. There's nothing to stop them, and they didn't, because I don't think they have it.
I think maybe the movie was more like, maybe it was more conceptually like planned out than they were able to film. Like, I think that happens a lot in independent horror movies, is that they plan out this thing and then they aren't able to get the footage or the stuff that they need. Because I think like, even though I enjoyed the mid movie interviews, I think they felt kind of like patched into the movie. Like, it just felt like, all right, we're going to stop the narrative and then have this happen.
Yeah, he went on a business trip and was able to get all these interviews and cut a rough documentary together to show his wife when he gets back.
Well, I mean, it changes, like...
I mean, they had been attacked by something at some point. Scary shit had happened already.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean... The wife doesn't think that it's scary. The wife thinks that it's like, she actually sees it for what it is. It's the husband who doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's the husband who doesn't see it for what it is. And he's the one, like, ultimately he's the one to blame, because she's fine. He's the one who steals the stuff. It's just, and it even plants the right kinds of seeds in the film by saying like, oh, like, this would be worth who knows how much if they actually got a real Mr. Jones thing, like a Mr. Jones painting, not painting, but sculpture or whatever it would be. It's like sculpt art. So I think
is that why he took it?
Yes.
Yeah. He took it not because he's an asshole, but because I think he thought it would be worth money.
He took it
because he's an asshole. And
right, but maybe he'd have done a better job explaining that too. He's like, oh my God, all our problems can be over if I could just get this one Mr. Jones.
Because am I misremembering, or were they in debt? Like, didn't they sink a lot of money into making the film, and like, they needed the money for something? I think I remember that being part of the plot, as like, oh, they have financial problems because they bought all this equipment, but then they start making this ill-conceived nature documentary, and like, now their marriage is falling apart, and also they have all this equipment that they need to pay for. and it's not all coming together.
It's like the is it Invisible Monsters, the Palahniuk book that he
Keaton, no. Just pronounce it as mini. I just want to hear you.
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. I think it's Palahniuk.
So
it's Palahniuk. Yeah,
Chuck.
That's how he pronounced it, and that's Palahniuk. You know, it is in the audio books. Yeah,
Chuck P is old Chucky P. He has that. I think it's Invisible Monsters where they have the rocks and they decide to get all this plastic surgery to make porn. And
no, that's in Haunted.
Haunted, okay.
That's in Haunted.
I get
there's a lot of plastic surgery in Invisible Monsters, but it's not to do
porn.
So
that's an easy mistake.
Realize that. Or they start off like, all right, we're going to save our marriage. We're going to start making these racy tapes. And then they realize how horrible they look with the light on them. So they start getting plastic surgery and it costs them more money, but they think they're going to pay stars. And they don't realize how, you know, as basic as fucking is, the it's, no pun intended, hard to be a porn star.
Yeah, I started watching the documentary Hot Girls Wanted. I never quite finished it because I kind of felt really icky watching it. Like, even though it's an expose on the stuff, I just still felt bad.
You kept waiting for an 8mm type sitch?
Not even that, but just like, it almost felt like something that Chuck Palahniuk would write, right? Like, it felt like he does the sort of seedy underbelly of things really well. And so watching that documentary, I felt that. And I just couldn't imagine being in the situation that they're in Mr. Jones, where their lives together are like being torn apart. And also they have all this debt they're going to have to reconcile with this really ill-conceived project.
That's a very mature attitude on, never going to get out of this debt.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that like, as you get older, those are the things you tend to worry about, not like, oh, the marriage is falling apart. Oh, no, they're not going to ever get out from any of this debt.
Yeah, like, oh, man, that's going to be a really long legal battle over who pays for that shit.
Whose idea was it? Who, yeah.
Who bought the equipment? Who signed the forms? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was all him.
Do you guys...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, I mean, we are probably the minority. Well, not the minority, but we like a genre of film that a lot of people kind of skip over, horror. But when we tend to read books like Ketchum and Chuck P and stuff like that really kind of speak to a darker side of humanity. Do you ever think, like, do you ever get the perverted joy of when you're around those family members or friends that don't seem to know about that side of life, and you expose them like slow, like just one little piece of information that's probably going to fuck their world up for the rest of the night?
I've never done that. Like, I've never been able to tell my family, like...
You've never dropped, like, a, you know... A
Serbian film on them? No.
No, not even that, but just,
hey
you
guys,
know...
it's just Christmas Eve. Let's watch a movie together.
Or even, like, more worse than that, like, you know, people in the swimming pool, when you throw out, you know, like, oh, I read this book one time where a guy used to get off by putting his butt crack up against the, you know, the suction drain, and it sucked his intestine out.
I tend to do that at work.
Doesn't occur to me to tell people that.
I tend to do it more at work than with my family.
At school with the students?
No.
The children?
No, the other...
At the kitchen?
With the other faculty members. That's usually it comes out, yeah. It's just like, oh, here's something shocking you probably don't know.
That's what I'm talking about. I do get perverse thrill out of doing that to people sometimes.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, especially, and it's mostly at work, when people that I don't know that well are, they've lived their whole lives without ever having to think of certain things that we've read about.
Right.
Like, oh, they're like, go this drastic, but like, oh, my nephew came over, like, oh, really? I watched a movie this week called a Serbian film where a guy fucked a newborn as his birthday.
That movie's beyond even, like, that movie's so beyond the pale, though. Like, as far as...
Serbarian Sound Studio film?
Serbarian Sound Studio. That movie's so beyond anything. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just I went into it like, oh, man, this is... I think I thought of that movie the same way I thought of Faces of Death the first time I saw it, where I was like, this may get me into moral trouble. Like, I shouldn't be watching this, because...
I'm going to hell.
Actually, Faces of Death is actually on Shudder. If you guys...
I've never seen it!
It's on Shudder.
My dad would never let me rent it as a kid.
It's on Shudder. I saw Faces of Death with my best friends in 11th grade over Christmas break. Like, that's how I got...
It's a weekend plan.
Oh my God!
It's on there.
I'm so excited! Have to stop now. I've got to go watch it.
I just remember the thing I remember is the last sequence was a guy had gotten attacked by a pit bull, and they showed the aftermath of his, like, all the surgery to recreate him.
This will be so great. I won't have to spend, like, all weekend on the what the fuck part of I'm super pumped right now.
Yeah. I mean, there were, I watched the first four of them, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they're all really like fake, but also unsettling. Like the parts of it that's real is really unsettling. The parts of it that's fake, it makes those parts, like what's ingenious about it is that it makes the parts that are fake more unsettling by like certain measures, because it is placed next to something that is actually real people dying. So, and I didn't realize that it was fake. Some of it was fake until like years later. Because
well,
I didn't know.
Now we have dash cam. We don't have to worry about, not WTF, although they probably has it, but there's one that's like Cality or something like that, where it's people dying in front of you on your screen.
It's what I mean. That's why I think I look at the WTF subreddit, is that like it sort of scratches the itch that I used to get from watching Faces of Death, of like I want to be inured to all of this and just like not be horrified by it. And I feel like it's almost like, oh, sometimes I think about like if I went to work for a mortician, I'd be less afraid of death. I think that's why I look at the WTF subreddit. It's like, if I look at enough of this stuff, I won't be as afraid that someday I'm going to be put in a box in the ground. Do you know what I mean?
Are you going to be buried or cremated?
I don't know. I'm hoping the rapture will come by that point, and I just don't have to worry about it.
Oh, right? So you're hoping to just roast in hell.
Right. Yep. Just, I hope that this world will become hell, so I don't have to worry about dying to go to hell.
I think this movie touches a little bit on this idea of kind of like showing people there's another part of the world too, like this underbelly or this undercurrent of other things that go on in the world that you don't know about. Like they stumble upon Mr. Jones, who may or may not be keeping the hell nightmare world at bay, or like in other films, like, you know, like for example, Nightbreed. Everyone's going around their business, but oh, by the way, there's a whole group of monsters that live underground in the city that have their own gods and stuff like that. Or even, you know, there's just like this unsettling tone of another part of the world that's going on while we're living regular lives.
Well, I think what's actually pretty awesome about this movie is that what it gets at, which is there are all kinds of weird people just all over the earth. And that's kind of why I come to horror movies, is to sort of have this microscopic, like anthropological view of really messed up people. You know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is kind of, and Spider Baby and movies like that are kind of the onset for the, you know, this kind of movie. And that's what I like. I mean, it's what I really liked about digging up the marrow.
Yeah, there's something else out there that normal people aren't going to pay attention to.
And I think that's kind of what you were alluding to earlier, where it's like, do you get a sick thrill out of, like, it's kind of like revealed religion, where you're like, oh, have you seen My God? My God is this scary horror movie that you've never seen, and it's horrific. Like, it's kind of like revealed religion in that way.
Well, and, like, people go about their lives without ever thinking about
the stuff that's in all of these movies.
Or not just the stuff, but they're the underbelly of the world. I mean, there is some horrible, horrible shit that goes on out there that people shield themselves from. And I think that's why I'm drawn to horror films, is that it's kind of like a little bit of a thrill of getting a peek of that.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree.
Drew, Lona, what are your opinions on this? Yeah.
Our resident expert. Yeah, other than that, like, I do think this movie has some good ideas, but overall, it's really unsuccessful. I don't suggest movies a lot. I would say maybe watch the first half of this movie, but after that, give it a rest, because it just gets really sort of like, it digs itself a hole that it can't get out of. And so
you know what it reminded me of at the end? You know, in Interior, that last part of Interior where the guy goes through the psychedelic time warp, but instead of it lasting an appropriate amount of time, it lasts like three times as long as it should.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought about that during this, because it's that last part where they're trying to get so artsy, fartsy, right, psychedelic in our reality dream and it just went on for so long that I just wanted them to die just so it would be over.
I agree with you. I actually agree with you on that 100%. It's why, like, I would suggest watching Barbarian Sound Studio. That movie's really good, and I don't think this one is as much. I like the beginning of this, but Barbarian Sound Studio is like a better version of this.
I'm going to go ahead and say I suggested Return of the Living Dead.
Okay. That, in retrospect,
I would sit there and say, if you're looking for something, I mean, so the whole idea that I thought was the most fascinating thing, and they didn't do enough with it, is the idea of an actual kind of the whole documentary side of it that was part of it, which is the early part that you keep mentioning. And so I would just suggest finding Sandman, which I thought was a pretty fascinating combination. Is it? Then there you go. It's perfect. That's what you get. Because it finds that perfect balance between being an actual documentary about stuff that you might not actually know about and then wrapping around enough of a well-done enough tale, a fictional tale around that, that makes it pretty interesting. That was what I thought of when I was watching the part. That's like, oh, I like this part.
I actually agree with that, too. This. Yeah, I'd say watch Barbarian Sound Studio and Samper Sandman.
Yeah.
Which is what I call it.
Yeah.
Brian, do you have a suggestion other than this movie to watch?
Anything else? Watch Slugs Again.
Watch what?
Slugs Again.
Watch Faces of Death.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to.
It's on show.
Let's just do that next time.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah.
I get on next week's episode.
I think that would be really interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure. Because we could actually talk about the stuff I was trying to allude to and I'm not going to make it stretch for this movie. The underbelly. The soft white underbelly.
Of humanity. Like the things that we... Like the stuff we don't understand, the reason that we dream. Like all of this, like the things we want to understand but can't. That's what Faces of Death gets at.
And I can talk about my real life Faces of Death job.
Yeah. And your experience with death.
Oh man, so much.
Death. I've had experiences with death. See, this is
save
great.
It.
We should do this.
Yeah, let's do Faces of Death next week.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Yeah, save it.
Well, what was your experience with death? No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell us.
Next week.
Next week
on the Horrible Podcast.
What a tease!
I know. Ooh. We're actually learning how to do this. 119-20 episodes in. All right.
Are we wrapping up now?
Yeah, let's do this, man.
Right.
I got nothing, man. I'm out.
Me
I'm
neither.
Tapped.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it.
I'm Tyler. Thanks for listening to us talk about our parents on Facebook.
Yeah, which stay tuned for our after episode, which is Parents of Facebook.
The Parents of Facebook cast.
I'm Drew. My mom only lasted a day on Facebook, and she decided everyone else is so annoying, she quit.
That's probably smart. Yeah. Your mother's smart.
Yes.
She likes Instagram.
Okay. Not better.
Drew's mom is more visually minded.
Mona?
And
God damn it.
My mom's on Facebook. My dad's not. Although he would probably be pretty good at it since he wants to know what we're doing every minute of every day.
There you go. We'll see you next week with Faces of Death. Yeah.